Welcome into HR After Dark, you guys. I've got some sad news to report. I was fucking ghosted. And I'm not talking like on Tinder. Like, I applied for a job. I interviewed for the position. And I was ghosted. Okay, here's how this went down. So I look for work pretty much all the time just to keep my options open, right? I found this position and I'm not going to disclose where it was because, right, like there's got to be some anonymity to my life in a little bit at least. And so I find this position and I'm thinking it's close to home and it's going to be perfect. I figured it's probably not going to happen. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And, you know, if anything, it'll help me with my interview skills because I very much am an advocate for if you're interested in applying for jobs, but you know that you have an interview issue. Oh, I am all for going into a position just to interview, just to hone in your skills. And that might look bad. Like you might be thinking, okay, that's a waste of their time, but you're not getting the same experience during mock interviews that you can get during the real life interviews. And you can always just say no, thank you and turn it down. Or if it's a really good job and you know, it's a really good job and you got this opportunity, hell yeah. Right. So that's my thought process with it. I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to get the job. I'm going to apply. I'm going to hone in my interview skills, whatever. I go into this interview and I am normally just very bad at interviewing. And as HR, that's wild because I can sit across from you and I can ask you the questions all day long and I can make you feel comfortable. But when I am in the interview myself, I can't tell you how terrified I am and how much my train of thought just leaves my damn body. So I go in, we do the small talk thing. Everything's going great. I know somebody that works for the company. So we chatted up about them a little bit, you know, whatever. We get into the interview questions. I breeze through them. It was the easiest interview of my life. And it was so easy and so nice to the fact that that person that would have been my direct boss said, you know, we've fielded out other candidates. They don't seem like they're going to fit as well as you are. And, you know, we'll get in touch with you. We do have to source the other candidates and interview them because, of course, they do. And then I follow up my interview like normal with thanks for interviewing, great time. Let me know what you guys hear back. And crickets. And I was already set up to expect, okay, on Tuesday, I interview on a Thursday. On Tuesday, they have the interview. So let me follow up by Friday. I follow up on Friday. Nothing. When I tell you guys, it has been absolutely crickets. And so I figured, okay, the following Monday, let me follow up. Nothing. And so that leads me into our segment for tonight, for today. Let's talk ghosting because I'm fucking tired of it. I had one experience with it. I have heard other people have experiences with it. I'm tired of it. We're getting into it. So ghosting in HR is when one party, the employer or the candidate, suddenly goes radio silent during the hiring process. And it can happen at any stage. So this could be with applications. It could be with interviews. It could even be post-offer, which if it's post-offer, you consider that a blessing. Consider that a blessing. And unfortunately, that means that the candidate has probably already put in their 2 weeks, but we'll get into it down the road, okay? This happens at every stage, and I've seen it from my side mostly with applications. And that means that I'm sourcing the applications. I'm going to give you a bring, bring. Hey, are you still interested in this job? And the candidate usually answers and says, I found other things. Yes, I am interested. But what's happening a lot more now is these candidates are just not answering. They're not answering the email that they have provided on file. They're not answering their phone. And I don't want to speculate and say that this is a generational thing, but a little bit of me is thinking this has to be a generational thing because millennials were answering phones. Gen X were answering phones. But it's our Gen Z ones that they prefer that text communication. So unfortunately, you know, we're not up to date in that fashion yet. We're still sourcing candidates via email and via phone call. We're not going to text you and say, hey, are you interested? Unless we're like a startup firm, right? If we're working out at Silicon Valley, that's probably what you're going to get is a text being like, hey, are you still interested? Most corporations in America, they're not going to text you and say, are you still interested? They will respond to your Indeed ad and say, are you still interested? But that's a form of like email communication. So from the employer side, this is when companies fail to respond after applications. Interviews happen, but there's no follow-up. And there's the dreaded silence after the final round. So it's like sending your resume into a black hole. You start questioning, is anyone reading it? Is HR trapped under something heavy? Do I need to come rescue them? You know, HR folks, really, if you ghost your candidates, don't be surprised when they start posting the screenshots of your job ad on LinkedIn with like a passive aggressive caption of, oh, wouldn't know anything about this company, you know? It doesn't make the company look good. And that's honest to God where I was at. I was like, do I need to start trolling these bitches? Do I need to start posting, don't apply for them, they'll ghost you? But it's a very real scenario. And then from the candidate side, this looks like candidates no showing for interviews, disappearing after they've accepted a job offer, total silence after asking for feedback or updates. So you spend weeks courting the perfect hire. You send them a beautifully crafted offer letter and then nothing. No email, no LinkedIn message, just the haunting realization that you were probably the rebound company. And this happened briefly after COVID. So if people didn't go back into their regular jobs, they were sourcing out jobs. A lot of our waiters and waitresses left that field of employment and they went to a corporate office and they didn't like that corporate environment. So they would go and reapply to be a waitress again because, hello, you're making hella tips, right? That is more of a steady stream of income than waiting on your 2-week paycheck. But what we're finding is that those people are really actually not happy doing that line of work and being in the restaurant industry anymore. They actually want to be in the corporate environment. They want to be behind a desk. They realize that desk work, well, honest to God, truly not very fulfilling, is something that is easier than showing up to work on a Saturday at noon, you know, and having to work until 10 p.m. or what have you. And a lot of people are cut out for that. This is no shame, no hate to them. But once you fall into the corporate lifestyle, once you fall into a desk job, you're likely going to remain at a desk job and your needs are just going to shift from, okay, this position, you know, I drive an hour to work every day. How can I move into a corporate position that is just 15 minutes from work every day? And so you had people applying and feeling out these places that were closer to home, but then, you know, boom, ghosted. From the employer's perspective, it is because you have an overwhelmed HR team. You have lack of automation or bad applicant tracking system. You have companies unsure how to reject people politely. That is the biggest one to me, because you should have a standard set up of your rejection. Indeed gives you a standard of how to reject a candidate, and you're just not utilizing your resources at that point. Sometimes they just forget. You leave for the day, you've done your job, you come back in the morning, you didn't write your little to-do note to follow up, and you've just forgotten it. It's just like when you leave your lunch in the office fridge all weekend, you just forget. Now, does that make this a shitty situation? Yes. But does that mean that the company is a shitty company? No. It just means, again, you have an overwhelmed HR team working there. So candidates, take that into perspective. Like, maybe this HR team is overworked, underpaid, and they're just trying to also keep their head above water. Now, that's not to say that that's an every time scenario. If you're getting ghosted every single time, honey, I don't know. Call me. Maybe we can rework your resume. I'm not sure. From the candidate's perspective, simply, the candidate has found a better opportunity. They got anxiety about turning down the role, or, you know, they're getting revenge for being ghosted in the past. Oh my God, can I tell you guys? I would love to ghost this company in the future. Some part of my brain is just so fucking petty that I'm like, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to start plotting. I'm going to start planning right now. It's not enough to talk about it on this podcast. We're going to Taylor Swift this bitch, and we're going to go 2 years into the future. Can I foresee this position coming up again? Can I be petty Betty about it? I feel like I can, but anywho's, that's where we're at in this world. To break this cycle, you know, for employers, we have to have those automated rejection emails. We have to ensure that every applicant hears back. We need to set clear timelines during the interview process. It is not enough to call this candidate, to screen them over the phone, and then not give them a realistic timeline. You're on the fucking phone with them. Just give them a timeline. Just say, I've got 5-6 other people to call back, and I'll let you know. That doesn't mean you have to call them back to reject them via phone. That means that you need to put it in your little to-do apps. You need to write it down and send them a lovely little email and say, you know, we've sourced a different candidate at this time. You have to be honest during your hiring process. It's going to take longer than expected. There are situations, you know, you see the urgently hiring, whatever. There are situations that, yeah, they're urgently hiring, but that means that if there's at least a 2-week window from screening the applicant and doing the interviews until they can decide that that person is, you know, the right person for the company. And then once they've found that right person, Cindy may have to give 2 weeks at her other job. So we're looking at a month-long process in the very least. And if her background check doesn't come clear, honey, she's not getting hired. And now you've got to go to the next candidate that was your second option and hope that they're still available. Hope that they didn't, you know, fall off the face of the earth. But, you know, it's dating etiquette. If you're not interested, just let them know. A little closure can go a long way. And to my candidates, respond to offers even if you're declining. I cannot tell you how many times we reach out and nothing. And what did we go through that whole process for? Because at the end of the day, we don't want to choose our second pick, okay? We want you, but now we have to go to this second person. Please let the recruiter know if you've chosen a different job. It's not going to hurt their feelings in the slightest. Be professional and communicate. And it's a small world. So networking is everything. It is not about what you know anymore. It's about who you know. And if you're not networking, honey, I mean, if your paths cross again and, you know, this person comes up at an event, you're not going to get chosen for that once in a lifetime experience a second round. And, you know, just because Lauren on the Hills got to go to Paris the second time, or was offered Paris the second time, that is not you. That is not you. You're not going to Paris. Ghosting your recruiter now could be the reason you're stuck explaining gaps in your resume later. Just something to consider. And now look, ghosting might feel like an easy escape in the moment, but it's not doing anyone any favors. So whether you're an employer, a candidate, let's be better, let's communicate, and for the love of HR, let's stop the ghosting. And I can bring up one other story, real life horror story here, guys. And it's going to sound like the biggest piece of shit story you've ever heard in your entire life. I swear, I cross my fingers, I cross my toes. This story is absolutely real. So let me set the scene for you. This was the perfect candidate. We're talking unicorn in the wild. We're talking stellar resume, flawless interviews. They checked all of the right culture fit boxes. They breezed through the rounds of interviews. So it's a manager position. All right. We're hiring at a manufacturing facility for a manager position, and we're not throwing anybody into that position because you have to meet certain markers. You have to be able to show that you have those KPIs. So when I say that these positions, manager positions, take longer to fill, they really do take longer to fill. There is at least three rounds of interviews, and you have your initial phone screening. And then if they're an out-of-state candidate, which a lot are, then you do a video interview, and then you fly them in to do an interview. And it's unnecessary spending, of course. But if this candidate is really serious, you want to be able to show them around the facility, show them where they're going to be working, and, you know, give them that firsthand experience. And so, honey, we rolled out the red carpet for orientation. I mean, this person checked the boxes. They accepted their offer. We had breakfast catered, agendas printed, and we're all waiting like the, you know, by the door, like the proud parents at graduation. This person did not show up. They did not send a text. They did not send an email. A fucking carrier pigeon never flew and hit the window. And we had all of this food waiting for orientation for this candidate. Nothing. So that leads into frantic phone calls. It leads into, you know, well, maybe they're stuck in traffic. Could they have overslept? You know, did something happen? I'm calling, I'm leaving voicemail after voicemail, and, you know, hours pass at this point, and I've got to do my job. I can't just keep waiting around. The next day, I contact Casper, and I leave a voicemail. I don't hear anything all day. I go about my business. I shit you not. Monday morning rolls around. I think, let me just contact them one more time just to see what happened. And of course, I'm getting this from the pipeline, right? Like, I'm not contacting. I was nobody in HR at this point. I was just told to do the work. I contact the candidate. They answered. So calm, so casual. They're like, oh, yeah, well, I got on the plane, I flew down, you know, And I knew that orientation was going to be on this day. But I had had some drinks on the plane. My fucking jaw, my jaw hit the floor. I'm speechless now thinking about it back. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're telling me that you had drinks on the plane. You decided, let's keep this party going. And because you were in Florida, it was, let's go to the beach and let's party. And now, I mean, we researched the candidate as much as possible, but we're not looking into their drinking habits, right? We decided to cut it that, you know, that was our sign, right? Like, this candidate probably would have been a drunkard on the job kind of thing. But needless to say, they officially withdrew from the job via email. Like, it was either same day or the very next day, but we weren't going to be bringing them back for orientation anyways. So, yeah, guys, you heard it right. Drunk on a plane, spent pre-orientation day partying, completely ghosted first day because they were too hungover to function. I mean, and look, it happens. I can't believe that that's happened to me. What a fucking wild ride it is to be in HR. But all right, let's move on to our last segment of the day titled The Tea is Hot, but is it HR approved? Imagine this. You walk into the office kitchen to heat up your leftovers, and bam, there's a post-it note in the microwave that reads, "Some of us were raised with manners, clean up after yourself." A few days later, another post-it note appears. "Some of us were raised to mind our business, hashtag not your maid." Fast forward 2 weeks, and now the break room fridge looks like it's been wallpapered with colorful insults. HR gets wind of the escalating sticky situation when someone submits a complaint titled "Microaggressions on Microwave" to the HR inbox. Post-it notes, great for reminders, guys. We're not waging psychological warfare against our coworkers here, okay? While this seems like harmless hostility, and while I am laughing my ass off at this email, I have to say, this can spiral into formal grievances, morale issues, and cause some trouble. So if you've got beef, address it in person, or leave HR to mediate before your post-it notes go viral on TikTok. All right, that's it for this episode tonight, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please be sure to follow me on social media at HR After Dark with Shelby on TikTok. We're doing good. We're gaining some traction over there. So go follow over there. I am on all of the other podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple. I upload this to YouTube as well. I'm not currently doing video, but it puts like a little colorful background into it. So you can listen over there on your work laptop should you choose to. I'm not telling you to because NSFW. go check me out on the other sites, guys. And with that, thank you so much for listening. We will see you for next week's episode for HR After Dark.